Now, you may not realise it today, but something significant is going to happen this morning. I sensed when I came in, there's a bit of a division here, that we actually have two sides of the room who are actually in quite a lot of conflict, and the line goes about here. So when I saw people on this side looking at people on that side, I could see they're going, don't like those guys. And I saw the people over here looking at those guys, I thought, I don't like these guys. So just like it is in the world we live in, there is the left and the right are always in conflict, right? That's happening this morning. So I'm going to ask you to enter in. The good news is, one side of the room will win a sweet prize. So everyone on one side, I can't tell you which side it is yet because I don't know. Everyone on one side of the room is going to win a sweet prize, and the other side is going to get nothing. So one side will win a prize. I'm not pointing to you guys because I know it's you. Could be you guys. But the other side will get nothing, okay? That's how it's going to work. So in order to decide who's going to win the prize, we're going to have a series of competitions. So I'm going to ask some people to come out, enter in, if the shoe fits, wear it, like you might be the person who comes out. And each time you have a competition, that side of the room wins 1 point. And the side of the room that wins is the one who gets the most points. Makes sense, right? And one side who wins, I'll point to these guys this time, the other side gets nothing. Okay, that's going to become very apparent as we go on. But it would be barbaric, wouldn't it? It would be barbaric if we all just got up and fought together. That would be barbaric. So let's do it in a civilized way. So we're going to use an ancient warfare technique that's called champion warfare. The idea of champion warfare is that you choose someone as your champion and you send them into battle on your behalf. So you've got to pick someone who you think might win the competition for your side of the room and send them into battle against the other side of the room. So if your champion wins, you win. But if your champion loses, you get nothing. Okay, thank you. Okay, the first event. Now, the name of the game is Choose Your Champion. Okay, Choose Your Champion. So you know on the game show, often they say the name of the game show. So I'm going to say Choose Your Champion. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and we all have to say Choose Your Champion. So what's the name of the game? 1, 2, 3? Choose Your Champion. Okay, that's the name of the game. First competition. This one involves physical strength, so a bit of endurance. So maybe someone with a bit of strength. So look around your side of the room and see if you can find someone who's going to be your champion. So I want a champion from both sides of the room. Someone who's maybe strong, someone who's strong, a little bit of endurance. Okay, we have a champion. I think the dad is the champion. Okay, so here's the competition. The first competition is a strength competition. The strongest. Who is the strongest? You guys have picked... I think you picked pretty well. We were talking... You know Scott works at a gym? I'm not sure Alvin works at a gym, but pretty strong?
I do a good job at the
kind of thing. Okay, all right. Feel confident with your champion? Okay, the first competition is this. How many push-ups can you do? Okay, on the ground. Okay, you're the champion, champion. Okay. Somebody count. Go. Feeling confident, you guys? I'm not sure the count. Is anyone counting here? One round? 31? And we're up to... Okay, 43-31. Let's say thank you to our champions. Hey, that means this side of the room, you get a point, and you guys get nothing. Okay, that's our first competition. Thank you, competitors. Okay. Okay, this next round of the competition is the longest lived, the longevity competition. Look around your side of the room, see if you can find someone who's a little on the aged side. So have a look around, see if you've got someone on your side of the room who might win this competition. Anybody, anybody, do we have anyone who's going to be... Now, I won't ask you to come out. Do we have someone on this side? Okay, we have Vera. Now, is that Jill? Now, let's have a listen. At what age have you attained to, Jill? 85, that's pretty good. Let's put your hand. That's pretty good. In the longevity competition. Vera?
90.
90, oh! That means this side of the room, you've got another point. You've got 2 points. And you guys have got
nothing.
Okay. Righto. Now, we have the next one is the... So you can, someone who's got a bit of mental mouse, okay? I need something for this. So pick someone, and you guys pick someone. Okay, who have we got? Are you in, Connie?
No.
You're not? Oh. Okay, we need someone who's clever. Mandy's going to come from this side. We've got someone who's willing to be clever. You, guys, I think you need a point. Come on. Here we go. Let's see you. Okay, here we go. We've got the Connect Four. Now, I'll let you go first because you guys are trailing. So first, is it an advantage to go first?
No.
You go yellow. You be yellow and you be red. Let's see how it goes. This is the cleverest competition. Remember, you're the champion for all those people. No pressure. Oh. Let's close the gate. Okay, the gate's closed. Ooh, strategy. And you guys already have two, but that time you got nothing. Okay. Righto. Now, this one's someone who's got good reflexes. Someone who's the most dexterous. Okay, pick someone who's got good reflexes from your side. We can probably roll this one off now. And use later. You got someone with good reflexes? You got someone on this side with good reflexes? Someone's been called up. The other side is choosing their champion for them. Righto, come up. Here we go. Up here. Now, the best reflexes, right? So this is about how fast. This is the test. I've just got a ruler. It's a standard ruler. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop it and you have to grab it, okay? So it could drop at any time. I'll give you the advantage as well because you guys are one behind still. So the score you get will be whatever in centimetres it says as the ruler goes down. And the lower the score, the better. So what you do, put your fingers out like this. And so that could be at any time, okay? It could be straight away. It could be like in a couple of minutes. So if, as I'm doing this here, oh, let's not do that. That is a score of 15. Well done. How you feeling? Confident? Right, yeah, here we go. Now remember, it could be any time. It could be... That's a score of 20. Because it's the other way around. So that means... Champion for this event. Okay, now... You guys get one more. That means it's 2-2. And for that one, you guys got nothing. Okay. Right, we have one more. And this one is called the savviest. The savviest, you've got to be savvy. And I reckon somebody, probably primary school, maybe primary school, it's like a series of questions around things that primary school kids might know. I mean, a parent might know too if they had primary schoolers. And it might reveal my age too about what I put up here. But got anyone who's kind of around maybe 10, that sort of age? We have someone? We have a volunteer? We need a champion. You could be less, you could be more. Here's the thing, if you don't have a champion, you can't go in the competition. This team will automatically win if they put some hard. It could be, you remember? Here we go. Now let's see. Now I don't know, come this way. What we're going to do is we're going to ask three questions, and if you know the answer, put your hand up first. Actually, maybe clap like that. It gives us a sound of what it is. So if you know the answer to the question, then clap when I ask the question, okay? So here's the questions. Now, I'm hoping you might know this thing. Okay. So remember, clap when you think you know the answer. Ready to clap? I'm not sure you know the answer. Well, here it is. First question. What colour is James the engine on Thomas the Tank? You know what colour James is? Nobody knows? It's a colour, you know, like, right, blue? It's not blue. You want to have a go? He's not white either. Okay, nobody wins that round. Everybody gets nothing. Yeah, he's red. And technically, James is a fictional anthropomorphic red tender locomotive. Now, here's another one. It's from TV, right? Ready to clap? What is the name of Bluey's sister on The Bluey Show? Bingo! Okay, we have 1 point. Did you know that one? Okay, just not quick enough, okay. Last question. If there's a tie, I do have a tie-break question, okay. So, last question. So it's 1-0, and gee, tell you what, this is the whole game's hanging on this next question. No pressure. Ready? Who is the ice princess in Frozen? I think the answer came from... You're both right. So let's go to the tiebreak, okay? This is the tiebreak question, so... Oh, no, it can't be a tiebreak. You guys have got one...
Nothing.
So technically, you guys are champions. The tiebreak question, just for your information, how many hydrogen atoms are there in 1 gram of hydrogen? Does anyone know that? No, that's all right. Thank you for playing. You guys actually win the championship. So, and this is the prize. So you can now, these guys are not going to like this, but you can spread them around your side of the room. It's for, you represented all these people. Where's the other champions? Spread them around. Well done for that side of the room. And this side, of course, gets nothing. That's the nature of champion warfare. If your champion goes there and wins the victory, everybody wins. But if your champion does not win, everybody loses. So I wonder if anyone can identify this guy. Does anyone know who that guy is?
Scott.
It's not actually Scott. Does anyone know his name?
Boagrius.
Boagrius, okay. He's from the ancient city of Thessaly. He's the biggest and toughest guy from the ancient city of Thessaly. And because he's the biggest and toughest, they choose him as their champion. Because he's going to go out and fight the battle. Nobody's game to fight this guy. He's so big and so tough. Not many will even think about it. Now, who's this guy? Brad Pitt. What's his name in the movie?
Achilles.
Okay, so he's from a place called Myrmidon, another Greek city. He's not as physically as imposing as Boagoras, but there's a legend about Achilles that he can't die. He's such a good fighter, so the Myrmidons have made him their champion. Okay, so you've got two large armies, and both of these armies select their champion, so Boagoras goes up against Achilles. Now, again, if everybody was to fight, it would be a bit uncivilized, wouldn't it? You know, and killing each other and all that sort of stuff. So you send out your champion. Far more civilized. It's a great way of conquering the world. Just use your champion. Choose your champion. Your champion fights for you. If you win, you win. If you lose, you get nothing. In fact, actually become slaves. So the champions go in the battle. So this is the opening scene of the movie Troy. Each side gets to choose their champion. Now, can anyone think of a story in the Bible like that? Big guy, small guy, rock. Yeah, that's exactly the same thing. Champion warfare. It's done, it's an ancient way of, wouldn't it be easy nowadays if we did that now? You know, just get the Ukrainian Putin and Zelensky, just have an arm wrestle. It's a lot easier. That's how we decided the battle, champion warfare. Choose your champion, not everyone fights. Somebody fights for you and you get the spoils of victory or you get nothing. Champion warfare. Many cultures have used this. We get the concept, right? Champion warfare. Okay, Easter Sunday. The day Christians throughout history have celebrated Jesus coming back from the dead. Why have a choose your champion competition on Easter Sunday? Why talk about champion warfare? Was it just to prove the superiority of this side of the room over that side and give them some chocolate? That, they may think that's a worthy goal, but that's not the point, right? There will be some chocolate later for others. If you want to understand the significance of what Jesus has done at Easter time, you have to understand champion warfare. You have to get that somebody stands in your place and you get the victory if they win. And if they don't win, you get nothing. The understanding of Easter is unlocked when you understand champion warfare. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is a slide that says the causes of death in Australia. I know, real good news, hey? All these are the diseases that kill most people in Australia. Heart disease is the highest, but there's others, including accidents. Interestingly, men are high on the accident thing. That's interesting, isn't it? So you bundle all these figures together and planet Earth looks like a war zone. All these people are perishing. Now for some reasons, no, genetic reasons, lifestyle reasons, we may avoid some of these or we may be more prone to others. There's no, what the table says, it tells us what people die of, but the big picture is this, everybody dies of something. That's the big picture, you can't get out of that conclusion. Everybody, at some point, we're going to all appear in those statistics if we're in Australia. It's inevitable. We're heading towards the day of our death. We might try and prolong our life, you know, eat some Weet-Bix every now and then and stuff like that. But you can't prevent it. Now, if this is true, that means that every one of us and humanity as a whole is in a battle against death. That's our foe. We've got to fight. We want to live. We want to live for as long as possible. We want to be as healthy as possible. But we're in this battle. And it's inevitable we're not going to win. Get any statistics. It's all showing that. There's no other statistics. They all have the same conclusion. Death wins every time. That's where the concept of champion warfare is helpful. If we think about the battle against death as a case of champion warfare, it's because we as the human race have not had a champion who would win the battle for us. In fact, we had the opposite. We had somebody who lost the battle. Paul the Apostle reflects on this situation. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says this, next one, death came through a single human being. That's a champion thing. Somebody died and death came to everybody else. That's champion warfare. We had a champion, our very first human being called Adam. Unfortunately, he lost the battle with sin and inevitably then lost the battle against death. But because he was the first human, he was our champion. We all descend from him. If your champion wins, you win. But if your champion loses, you get nothing. In fact, in this, you inherit death. And death has come to the whole human race since then. If your champion loses, you lose. You get nothing. The whole team loses. So Paul says, next verse, he says this, in Adam, all die. All those who have Adam as their champion inevitably will die. You get nothing, you lose. That's the situation in humanity. That's the bad news. It agrees with the statistics. Everybody dies of something. We don't have a champion to win. We had a champion who lost. Now, Paul knows, though, another battle with death occurred. So there was this first battle, but then there was a rematch. Death kind of, you know, said, I'm going to have another match. And another potential champion emerged. The next challenger was Jesus. On Good Friday, Jesus went to the cross. He was representing us as our champion. But unfortunately, just like Adam, the power of the Romans and all the things done to him, he also died. That battle was champion warfare. He died, so death won again. Death defeated him. And it looked like death had the final say. But something happened on Sunday morning. We celebrate that. Something changed forever. Let's fill in the blanks. Just death came through a single human being. The resurrection of the dead comes through a single human being. Just as we died in Adam, the resurrection of Jesus means that he's the champion. Everybody who's associated with him is raised to new life. Just as we died in Adam, we can live in Christ. In the first battle, Adam lost and we lost. We became enslaved to death. In the second battle, Jesus died, but then he rose. He won the victory. He won the victory on behalf of all those who associate with him. Not by avoiding death, not by saying, I'm going to get in the ring, but I'm going to dodge everything. No, he entered into death. He was killed. He died and he rose again. Champion warfare. Death through Adam, life through Christ. Our new champion won the victory over death. So Paul says who our champion is. So as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The second champion fought the battle and won. And all those who associate with him are raised with him. That's how it works. That's what we're doing today. Your champion loses, you lose. But if your champion wins, you get everything. You get the victory. You don't have to win the battle yourself. Somebody wins it for you. That's sweet. That's good news. That's the good news of Christianity. We have a champion. He won the battle over death. We have life through Jesus Christ. It all depends who your champion is. So let's read the verses together. Go to the next one. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a single human being, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a single human being. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now, you may have a question at this point and say, well, it says that we're meant to have the victory because Jesus won the victory, but hey, Christians go in those statistics as well. There's no exemption for anyone. Followers of Jesus, no matter how closely they follow, they still die. So what's going on here? If our champion has won, how come we're not getting the victory? Turns out there is no immunity from death. Just like Jesus passed through death, we will also pass through death. But let's read the whole lot. Let's go back. There's another... That's the first part. Christ has indeed been raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a single human being, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a single human being. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all we made alive. But get this. But each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. the victory has been achieved, but the prize of the victory hasn't happened yet. Just as in a war, there are spoils of victory, there are treaties to be worked out, there are things to be done, assets to be transferred, and then the victory is declared. There's a time of waiting until he comes. It talks about Jesus as the first fruits. If you're a gardener, the first fruit on the tree is great, but it means, guess what? Later on in the season, the rest of the fruit's coming. The first fruits has been raised. Later on, the rest of the crop, that's us, is going to appear. Those who have fallen asleep in him will be raised. Those who belong to Christ will receive their share of the victory at his coming. When he comes again, he will raise all those who trust in him. Now, we selected champions earlier in the service. Somebody came and represented us, and we either won or lost depending on their performance, not our own. Strongest, longest lived. We tried to work this out. We chose the best possible champion. So with strength test, we chose the young guys. For the longevity, we chose the people we thought were the oldest. It makes sense. Choose your champion well, because they're going to fight for you, and your reward will be according to their performance. Here's the good news. Jesus has already died, and he's already been raised. There's no doubt that he's won the victory. Each of us can select a champion, not say, oh, we think he'll do a good job. Maybe he'll be good in the competition. We have a champion who's already won. You can choose a champion that guarantees the victory over death. He's already won. He's already been raised. He's already overcome death. We choose him as our champion. We are guaranteed to win the victory. It's certain. This champion has already won. The benefits will come at his return to those who trust in him. Imagine knowing the outcome of the battle before it's even fought. Imagine knowing the winner of the race before you even place a bet. Imagine knowing the price of the stock before you buy it. Next year's price. That's essentially what we have in the resurrection of Jesus. If we believe it, if we trust in him, if we choose him as our champion, it's a sure thing. We have overcome death. Not yet, but at his return. Now, to make him our champion, we put our trust in him. We give our lives to him. We surrender to him. Right at the core of the Christian hope, he died, he rose, he's coming back as our champion. Make Jesus your champion. Put your trust in him. You're set free from the fear of death. Set free from what happened to Adam. Receive all the benefits of what Christ gives. I wonder, is that you? Have you made Jesus your champion? Are you confident, facing death, that somebody has already won on your behalf? Adam, weakness and sin and death. Jesus, forgiveness and victory over death. We choose who our champion is. Maybe for you it's time to say, I'm going to put my trust in Jesus. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to surrender my life to him. The victory he won on Good Friday over sin, that we can be forgiven, and on Sunday morning that we will not stay in the grave. Now, I'm going to put up a slide that has a prayer on it. I want to invite you, I want you to read it first. Don't pray anything that I'm not saying pray something I want. If this fits you, I want to encourage you to pray it. So have a read. And if that sounds like something that you would like to pray, you recognize what Jesus has done. Forgiveness is yours. Victory over death can be yours. I wonder, maybe we'll stand. Let's stand together and pray this. It's a very significant day. The whole history has changed because of Sunday morning. So let's pray. If you feel comfortable praying, God, I realize I can't overcome death by myself. I need a champion who will win that battle for me. Thank you for the forgiveness Jesus won on Good Friday. Thank you for the victory over death Jesus won on Easter Sunday. Thank you that forgiveness and eternal life are mine as I surrender my life to Jesus and choose him as my champion.